Reading from Isaiah chapter 62. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called, My delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. O Lord, have mercy on us. A reading from Revelation chapter 12. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. O Lord, have mercy on us. A reading from St. John chapter 2 and chapter 19. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, They have no wine. And Jesus said to her, Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, Do whatever he tells you. Chapter 19. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. And he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When she was a girl, pregnant and unwed, with this crazy-sounding story that she was chosen to be the very mother of God, that the angel Gabriel had appeared to her and revealed that this would be done by the power of the Holy Spirit, a story which her friends and family, let's say, were a bit skeptical, or as the kids say, a bit sus. But when she was that young girl, pregnant and unwed, could she have imagined this? When Joseph insisted on keeping her as his betrothed and took her with him to Bethlehem, the city of David, to be counted in the census, at that point, could she have envisioned this? When they brought their 40-day-old baby to the temple in order for the rites of the presentation and for her own purification, when the white-haired Simeon added his footnote to his prophecy that a sword shall pierce through your own soul too, did she picture this? When she and Joseph anxiously searched through their extended family for their missing 12-year-old, only to find him and his word, Did you not know that I must be about my father's house in the temple? At that point, did she understand that this was the end. When they were at the wedding at Cana, John chapter 2, when she received that polite rebuke for asking her son to deal with the drought of wine, did she think that in just 3 short years she would be seeing this? When she heard the rumors of Christ Jesus, her son's actions in the temple, how he manufactured a whip, how he drove out the otherwise peaceful merchants selling animals for sacrifices, did she think that all of that was going to culminate in this? And when she followed her son from Jerusalem to Golgotha, did she think that that trip would be so final, so irreversible? Mary, did you know? Did you know that your baby boy, in the baby boy, was the face of God? Mary, did you know that this baby boy would grow to be the Savior of the world? Yes. She did know because the angel Gabriel told her. But Mary, did you know what he would endure to save his people? How could she? How could you? The Lutheran confessions are clear. If you refuse to call Mary the mother of God, if you refuse to call Mary the mother of God, Theotokos in Greek, the God-bearer, then the Lutheran confessions, if you're curious, Formula Concord, Solid Declaration, Article 8, 24. You can look that up back if you want to go check it out. They say, if you do not call Mary the mother of God, you are an Nestorian heretic and you are not a Christian. In the 4th or 5th century, Nestorius, ironically, actually set out to defend or to preserve the divinity of Jesus without mixing it with that humanity. Nestorius argued that Mary couldn't possibly be the mother of God, because Mary could only be the mother of the human part of Jesus. But now, in doing so, his name is permanently attached to a heresy in the church. Because no woman could give birth to God. No human woman, right? Wrong. Mary is indeed the mother of God. For in this case, what you confess about Mary, what you say about Mary, is actually your confession or what you say about Christ and who Christ is. So it is necessary that we call Mary the mother of God. For God and man in Christ Jesus are inseparably one. There's not two persons or two parts. Nestorian heresy, by the way, can best be described as like Christ's humanity and his divinity, kind of two separate things glued together, like two pieces of board. They're glued together. You can't put them together. They can't be mixed. They got to be separate in order to try to protect Jesus' divinity. But all sorts of problems, all sorts of errors come from the Nestorian heresy, not the least of which is a problem with the sacraments and the infinite being capable of inhabiting the finite, which confirmation kids just learned, actually. So Nestorius agreed Mary could not be the mother of God, but God is in Christ, one person, not two persons, one God, man and both man and God, one person, man and God. So God has a mother. But beware, because if you confess that Mary is the mother of God, well, that means that you are risking all of your own self-reliance upon your flesh, because we need the flesh of another. We need God to take on flesh. If what Mary bore in her womb truly is God, then all of our excuses about God simply won't do. If God is a zygote or or an embryo and a fetus, well, then you can no longer claim that unborn children aren't persons. If the baby growing in Mary's womb for 9 months is truly God, then your pious pretensions that a mother can freely choose to abort, to kill her unborn baby, is sinful and wrong. If Mary is the mother of God, then children, as our psalm said, children are indeed a true blessing from God, to be received without reservation as the very precious gifts that they are. If what this woman, Mary, if what she bore in her body is God, then God is truly a man. And that man is man's only hope for salvation, the offspring of this woman. If this man that she bears is truly God, well, now we have hope. If she truly gives the second person of the Holy Trinity flesh, then you, who also have human flesh, can be saved, are saved. But no one, well, almost no one, wants this woman to be called the Mother of God. People shy away from calling her the Theotokos, the Greek word for God-bearer, the Mother of God, because to say that she bore in her womb the very person of Jesus, who is God Almighty, is truly God, is to admit, as I mentioned before, is to admit that your flesh, which you rely upon every day to complete basic tasks, your flesh is not up to the task of completing God's requirements perfectly, not as he demands. To call Mary the Mother of God is to say that your flesh, with its inclinations to want to be its own God, to reject the name of God, to refuse weekly Sabbath rest in his word, inclinations to dishonor father and mother, disobey your parents and other authorities, to harm your neighbor's life, body, marriage, property, reputation, and being discontent with what your heavenly Father has given you, in other words, the Ten Commandments. In light of God's Ten Commandments, well, your flesh isn't just weak and not up to the task, it is a poor, miserable failure. It is in desperate need of God becoming flesh, and it is in desperate need of saving. If Mary bears in her womb the second person of the Holy Trinity, then you and I must look for hope outside of ourselves, outside of our own flesh, to the flesh of another, God Almighty in the flesh. Mary is the Mother of God. In her womb, and eternally thereafter, God is a man. God has been a zygote, a fetus, a baby, a boy, an adolescent, a teenager, a man. If you have been any one of those, or if you currently are any one of those, then this man is for you. Behold the man. Behold the man who calls her woman, his mother, but the one hanging on the cross is not just her son, he is her savior. So there is no elevating Mary into an intercessor or to a role that she is not, Christ alone occupies, that she is not to be elevated to. There's no room for Mary to be co-redemptrix. There is no prayer that should be directed toward her. When it comes to salvation, Jesus commends his mother to the church just as he does all other sinners. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Jesus dies for for Mary's sins, just as he dies for your sins. For he exists, God and man, he exists in order to die for all people, including yours, your sins. This is Mary's son, who is appointed for the rising and fall of many in Israel, and who is for the salvation of Israel and Gentiles alike. Behold the man, the promised seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15, sent to crush the head of the serpent, who, yes, since the fall, has enslaved all of mankind. Our flesh is in need of redemption. Behold the man who redeems all men. Behold the man who cared enough to use his dying breath to care for his mother. Behold the man who cared enough to use his dying to save her and all sinners from eternal death. Behold the man, your brother, your Savior. And you, dearly beloved, dear Christians, behold your mother, the church, the bride of Christ, whom God rejoices over, just as a young man rejoices over his bride, the Lord rejoices over you, Isaiah says. And that's really what Revelation chapter 12 is talking about. It can be a little confusing, I understand that. But Christ's church on earth is represented by the woman. Obviously, there's allusions there to Mary and the Christ child, but it is the church that is being preserved by God there in Revelation 12, being preserved in the wilderness against Satan, against being devoured by Satan. God is preserving in the wilderness of this world his church, his bride, your mother. From the church's womb, then, if you're able to accept this, from the church's womb, which is the very font, you are given birth. You are given new life. Christ has caused you to be reborn through the water and the Spirit. Behold, your mother, the mother in whose care you receive the greatest blessing of all, forgiveness, to live out every day of your life. Behold the place where all of your sins are richly and fully forgiven. Behold the man who redeems us all in this place around his word and sacraments to forgive you. Mary is truly the mother of God. Again, what you confess about Mary in this case is actually what you are confessing about Christ. God has a mother. The child born of Mary is God. Not parts of God, not 50-50, God. Fully God, fully man. True God who saves true sinners like you and me. He is the man. He is your brother, your flesh, and he alone can offer himself on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. Mary never could have expected this, nor could you. This man is God. This God is man, and he is dying for you. Behold the man. Behold your Savior. Behold your salvation. Behold your God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.